EFTM. Tech, cars, lifestyle.
This is the EFTM podcast with Trevor Long.
EFTM.
Great to have your company. Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for subscribing, especially if you're deep in the EFTM feed. Thank you for listening wherever you're listening. I don't mind how you listen, but if you're in the EFTM feed, obviously you're hardcore, really getting into it. Feel free to leave a rating or review. Hundreds of ratings on iTunes if you're listening that way. If you're listening on the Two Blokes Talking Tech feed, great to have your company there as well. You get it around mid-afternoon on Tuesdays in the EFTM feed and Wednesday nights on Two Blokes Talking Tech. You know, last week, we got a lot of calls to get through today. Everything from travel to buying advice, you name it. We got you covered. But I'm just a bit obsessed by last week's success in creating jingles. And I'm thinking, like, the question is, do we abandon the opener to the show and reinvent it? Because this, again, I'm just seriously. Jingle for the EFTM podcast in the style, this one, in the style of rock and roll. Right?
Get ready to tune in to the EFTM show. We'll be breaking down to let you know we got the latest tech and the hottest news for all the gadget freaks and the geeks like you. We'll shake up your world with our wild talk. No filter, no limits. We don't ever walk from smartphones to gaming. Cover it all in this crazy world we stand tall. EFTM.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, it's remarkable, okay? Even this musical bed here was created. I think it comes in with another crack at the chorus in a bit, but that was just created on the fly with nothing more than basically three prompts: jingle, EFTM podcast, and rock and roll style. It searched the internet for the rest of that. But I'm having a country mode, so maybe this is a better intro.
In the land of Oz where the wild kangaroos roam, this podcast that's talking about tech, cars, and phones from the outback to Sydney, they know it's worth a listen. EFTM's got the scoop, they're never missing. We'll take you on a ride through the digital wave. Trevor and the crew, there's no topic they won't break. From gadget reviews to all the latest trends, the EFTM podcast, it's your tech-savvy friend. So grab your headphones, turn up the dial, get ready for a show that'll make you smile. EFTM podcast, it's time to have a blast. In true Aussie style, they're unsurpassed.
Seriously. I mean, unsurpassed. The EFTM podcast, it's your tech-savvy friend. I like that. That's a good line. But I'm thinking, should I introduce Stephen to this? I don't know. Oh, this is brilliant. I've just typed jingle for the podcast, Two Blokes Talking Tech in a rock style. I haven't played it, but I've just looked at the lyrics because it produced it while I was playing that last one. Tech wizards at their best, diving deep into the latest trends, all that stuff. But verse two, Dave and Trevor, they're the kings of the game.
Dave,
who the hell's Dave? Dave and Trevor. I gotta listen to that. Hang on, we gotta listen to it. We have to get to the second verse urgently. They'll make you smile. Analyzing gadgets, mile after mile, yeah, good. Tech wizards did their best, putting you to the test. Diving deep into the latest trends, no time to rest with a podcast that's rocking. They do use the theme, like when I say rock, they use that within the lyrics. I don't like that. That's a bit lame. Hang on. Here we go. not even Trevor. Oh, maybe I should write hosted by Trevor Long and Stephen Fennick. That's very funny. I'm going to go back to country. A last one, I promise, and then we'll get on with the show, I promise. Dave and Trevor. Oh, that makes me laugh so much. Oh, goodness me. It's the simple things in life, isn't it? It's just generating the country-style Two Blokes Talking Tech intro, which hopefully mentions – here we go, yeah, because I've prompted it. Vote. You need to send me a thread or a something. You need to get in touch and let me know whether Honky Tonk Country Two Blokes is something I should play to Stephen. Oh, I've just turned my mouse upside down. Where is it? Two Blokes Talking Tech. Let's have a listen now.
On the airwaves.
Oh, hang on, let's start again.
Well, there's two blokes talking tech on the airwaves. Trevor Long and Stephen Fenich, they're all the rage.
Oh.
From smartphones to gadgets, they've got it all.
Oh, I can't listen anymore, but it will be funny. I got to remember. Someone's got to remind me to tell Stephen about this tomorrow when we're recording. Anyway, look, I could probably play with that fair dinkum all day. I genuinely think it's probably cooler than most of the other AI that's been created. Anyway, that's not what we're here for. We are here to take your calls. We have a bunch of questions on the line, and thanks to producer Rob, we have an amazing breakdown of why people get in touch. 47, oh, there's an alarm going off. I've got radio soon. I'm not normally recording this late. 47% of people get in touch because they're buying something. 9.5% troubleshooting. 14% because they're traveling. These are great stats, Rob. Spreadsheet guru. Look at him. Unbelievable. Anyway, get in touch. EFTM.com or SMS 0477 657 657. Without further ado, let's get on with calls. If you've got a tech question, you can send an SMS or a WhatsApp to 0477 657 657, or you can simply go to the website, EFTM.com, and click Ask Trev. Stuart did that. G'day, Stuart. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm fine. Thank you, Trevor.
I'm really good, mate. What can I do for you?
Well, I had an Epson XP420 printer, but it just went to the big printer place in the sky. It just died. Yes.
That happens.
And now, I don't do a lot of printing. If I use a ream of paper in 2 years, I'll be doing well.
Wow. So, okay. Yep.
Yes, but sometimes when you get a receipt or you get something, you need to print something. You like the hard copy.
Yeah, true.
So I just want something, and you can tell by the accent and the simplicity, the cheaper the better.
Look, I mean, if you aren't printing a lot, like if you're legit only using a ream of paper a year or so, then there's probably no point in going too hard into the investment of what I would recommend normally, which is like an EcoTank style printer, which essentially gives you such a great printer life. It's phenomenal, right? But the thing is, you're going to pay $300 or $400 there, so that's probably pushing the envelope just a little. But what I wouldn't do is spend less than 100. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can walk into Officeworks and you can definitely get an $88, a $69, a $59, but you are going to pay for ink within like 5 or 10 pages. Like, what they do is they sell the device with very little ink in it, and then they charge you a fair whack for that first refill of ink. Do you need scanning or anything like that? Do you ever need to scan a bill or a paperwork?
Not a lot. Maybe once or twice if something's scanned, but mainly it's printing out thing, and we don't do pictures or anything like that.
Yeah, right.
So it's something that's easy to set up.
Do you reckon? What about color? Do you reckon you could get away with just black and white?
Yeah, I think I could.
You know what?
Yeah.
I would probably err towards, the Brother mono laser at Officeworks. It's like $140. Now, the reason I was drawn to blow, I've got a Big Brother printer here at the office at the moment, which I'm setting up for someone. And, you know, it's been a long time since I used a laser printer. But gee whiz, they just pump it out quickly. It's great clarity. It's kind of all you need. And if you're not doing, you know, scanning and color and photos and all that, then for $140, you're probably going to get a year or two's worth of use out of that one on its own. If you did want to just go, oh, let's go a little bit multifunction, so it can if we need to print color, it can if we need to scan, then just another $20, $159 will get you an Epson. It's basically the modern version of what you got now, but it's called the XP6100. Looks like a nice unit. It's going to do a great job. It's probably the base level. And then, you know, just make sure you're ready for that first refill when the ink runs out. That's all you got to worry about.
Yeah, that sounds okay. So that's the Epson, the EP6100?
XP6100, yeah. I'm just looking on the Officeworks website. I haven't tested a printer that's not EcoTank or Canon, call it something else. Yeah, Epson, EcoTank, and Canon have a word for it as well, which is basically you don't buy cartridges. Megatank, Canon. So let's just look here broadly. The cheapest version I can find is the Canon Megatank printer is $300. And the ink in that, I'm telling you, is probably going to last 2 years. So you're not going to buy anything other than the paper in the first 2 years easily. Probably longer for you. Your biggest issue with an EcoTank or any sort of inkjet is making sure you print now and then just to keep the heads, you know, working.
Keep them from gumming up or something.
That's
like
it.
That. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, spot on. Like, honestly, my one in the office here, I do struggle with, I don't print a lot at all, and it's a Canon tank one, and I need to do an alignment every month or so just to keep it running. So you're probably fine with that Epson at the mid-range, $160. That's a good price. It's not too cheap and stingy, but it's probably just going to get you by.
But that's an EP6100.
XP, yep.
XP.
Yep. Give it a whirl, mate.
Okay, that's from Officeworks.
Yep, that's where I saw it online just now.
Okay, thank you very much for your help.
Thank you, Stuart. Anytime, mate. Good on you. Thanks for getting in touch.
All right. Goodbye.
Good on you, mate. And, you can get in touch at EFTM.com or you can send an SMS to 0477-657-657. Producer Rob will very promptly be in touch with you and hopefully we can line you up to have a chat on the show.
This is the EFTM Podcast.
Take any calls. If you've got a tech question, you know where to go, EFTM.com or 0477-657-657. Alan's on the line. G'day, Alan. How are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad, Trevor.
Well, good, mate. What can I do for you?
I have a little problem with my fetch box.
Yep.
Possibly every day or every second day, it'll just freeze on me. And all I get is I can change the volume, but nothing else. I can't change station, can't do anything.
Well, that's rubbish. So you're using the remote that was supplied with it, and you know if you press the menu button, does the menu come up, for example?
No, nothing at all.
And what have you tried to fix this? Have you been in touch with Fetch, or have you looked to return it? What have you done thus far?
Nothing at the moment. Okay. We just thought there might be an easy fix, and it is still under warranty.
Yep.
It's just over 12 months we've had it.
How do you fix it when it's happening?
We pull the plug.
I was just going to say, you turn it off, you turn it back on again, and off it goes. How long do you reckon it lasts before it then goes bung on you again?
Around about 24 hours. Okay. And it's normally at night time because that's basically when we use it.
Yeah, right.
But if it doesn't go the first time, it'll go 2 days maybe at the most. Yep. And then it'll do exactly the same thing again.
And do you do all of your viewing through the Fetch box? So it's your like HDMI 1 and you pretty much just use that remote for free-to-air, for catch-up, for anything else you're doing?
Everything, yes.
Yeah, right, okay. So you're giving it a workout. Is it a Mighty or a Mini? Is it the little one or the big one? Do you know?
It's the big one.
Okay, so it's the Fetch Mighty. Fetch automatically does software updates. So the first thing I was going to say is check that it's done any software updates. But
it has, yes. Changed all the viewing of it.
Oh, yeah. No, they changed the interface about a year ago, didn't they, when kind of layout of everything. Have you got any much recorded on it?
No, not very much at all.
Okay. And do you use a lot of streaming services, Netflix and Disney and things like that?
Yes, we do. Not a lot, but quite a bit.
So the thing I suggest you might need to try is a factory reset. Now, the worst part of doing a factory reset really is just having to log back into Netflix and those kind of things, because everything else will kind of just work out of the box. You know, it will tune for the TV signals and all those kind of things. But
yeah.
I think before anyone is going to kind of physically look at the device or swap it out, you're probably going to need to have done some sort of factory reset to get a sense of whether or not that is going to solve the problem. So my guess is that's the smart thing for you to do pretty quickly, is a factory reset. Now, I did find online a guide from Fetch on how to do that. If you just literally Google Fetch Mighty Factory Reset, you'll find how to do that, little instruction guide. And look, I think it's the smartest thing to do before we take it to Fetch for support. There's another thing. I'm just reading online while I do it. So a factory reset is a really brutal kind of erasing the memory thing. There's another thing called a soft reset. Now, what it says, I'll read this out just to so you and I both hear at the same time, and then I'll think about it. It says, turn your fetch box off and wait 30 seconds. Okay, so you've done that before. But within two minutes of restarting your fetch box, press the red, green, yellow, blue buttons in that order. Keep pressing those buttons in that order until the R or pour light on the box starts flashing red. And then the fetch box will restart. So, you know the coloured buttons on the remote, red, green, yellow, blue?
I know that.
If you unplug the box, wait 5 minutes, plug it back in, and then once it's booted up, so once it's actually working again, you can see what's on the screen, red, green, yellow, blue, red, green, yellow, blue. Just keep pressing those in order. Doesn't have to be too quick, but red, green, yellow, blue. Red, green, yellow, blue. I wouldn't do it for more than a minute, to be honest, because I'm sure it should happen quicker than that. But a soft reset is kind of like erasing the basics of its memory but not getting rid of all your information. And that might reset some of the settings and give you a bit of hope on the use of the box. So I would say, Alan, let's do that first. I want you to do a soft reset first and then give it a couple of days and see whether you get that slowing again. Now, if you do get the slowing again after a soft reset, I want you to get in touch with me, right? So just come back to me and we will then connect you directly with someone at Fetch who can talk you through it and talk about what issues you might be having, okay? But I just don't like doing that first because we should try and solve it ourselves first, is all I'm saying.
Try it first. For sure. Thank you.
Right. So soft reset, the coloured buttons, and then if it doesn't work, after a couple of days you're getting the slowing again, get back in touch with me and I will represent on your behalf to the people at Fetch.
Excellent. Thank you, Trevor.
My pleasure, mate. Thank you for getting in touch and good luck with it.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye. My pleasure. No worries. Good on you, mate. Look, it's no guarantee that's going to fix it. There's no guarantee a factory reset's going to fix it. But it is most likely. A slowing or a user interface bug is normally a software thing, not a hardware thing. So in theory, I think that might fix him. Let's find out. You're listening to the EFTM podcast. Thank you very much for listening to the EFTM podcast with Trevor Long, 0477657657. Sean's on the line. G'day, Sean.
G'day, Trev. How are you?
Really good, mate. What can I do for you?
Well, as I was saying in my message, I've got an iPhone 12 Pro, but every time I go and try and charge it, sometimes it charges, sometimes it doesn't, and then half the time, even when I'm talking to you now, it's very dull listening through the earpiece, and I was just wondering, do I upgrade my phone now to a 15 or do I wait for a 16 and just try and live through this for a few more months? My normal
answer to that is absolutely wait, but you've got issues. And so my gut is it's probably time to upgrade. But I will say you shouldn't be having those issues. So
no.
You need to look at it and go, okay, iPhone 12, so to 13 to 14 to 15. So it's 3 and a bit years old now, right? Did you get it when it was brand new or?
Yeah. Apart from that, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. That's what's sort of throwing me. Do you really want to go and spend $2,000 on a new phone when the phone, you know, the new phone's not really going to do anything different to what this one does?
Mate, I mean, the camera's a big step up from 12 to 15. The 12 to 16 step up will be the same. Great camera, and I don't know if you've seen my video, but there'll probably be a dedicated camera shutter button, right? So pretty cool. But again, I think you're just from hearing you talk, I think your mindset is like mine. Why? Why spend the money? So what I would do is do you have a spare phone at all, like a second drawer phone or anything like that?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
I'd whack the SIM card in there. I'd make an appointment at the Apple store. And I would say this phone is in fantastic condition. I've never dropped it. Has it ever been in water?
No.
So I've never dropped it. It's never been in water. It's only 3.5 – and you say these words, it's only 3.5 years old, yet I'm having charging issues, and now and then on the speakerphone, on the earpiece, it's not great quality. I think there's a problem with it. And they say, fine, it's not covered by warranty anymore. And then you say, Australian consumer law. And now this, as I've spoken about many times, is a grey, non-defined thing. But I argue and would argue till the cows come home that 4 or 5 years is definitely the amount of time a smartphone should last if it's been cared for well. And, you know, given that Apple still support it entirely and will do for probably at least another 2 years with software updates and security updates, I think you should argue for that to be looked at and potentially fixed under Australian consumer law. Now, even if they say no, right, let's say it's the speaker module. Let's say it got wet and you didn't know about it, right? Well, what's that cost to replace? Let's say it's the charging port. What's that cost to replace? It could be that $300 fixes it. And so then you say to yourself, well, actually, Apple, please fix it for me. Or thank you, I'll take it somewhere else and get them to look at it, because there's plenty of nerds with soldering irons that are fixing phones these days. and that's a good thing, right? That gives you prolonged life. Obviously, I would personally prefer you did it through Apple, because then you kind of really know that it's going to keep working. But, man, that phone should last 5 or 6 years. It's a great phone.
I thought, geez, it seems a bit strange to have to go and replace this phone. I mean, as I say, the rest of everything that it does fine. It's only, I thought it might have been the cable or whatever that I was using, but, you know, I put it, my wife's phone and other phones.
Have you done the real,
straight away.
Like, have you done one of those little blower things that squirts air into the power? Yeah, you've done all that. Because,
I've done that.
And the reason I said to you, have you got another phone, is when you walk into Apple and they're going to say it's out of warranty, you say, no. So you've already taken your SIM card. You've got it working in another phone. So you've got this power over them that you don't need the phone back that day. You know what I mean? Yeah. You can say to them, no, you guys need to hang on to that. You guys need to look at it. And under Australian consumer law, I want to know what's wrong with it and what you're going to do to fix it. Okay?
Yeah.
And that kind of really puts you in a power position, because a lot of people would go in there and go, no, but I need it back. Okay, fine. I'll just fix it, you know? And they're not willing to stand by. And I've told this story before. We had a car that sat at the dealership for like 4 or 5 months while I argued that they should fix it. And that's because I was in the privileged position of having a spare car and could literally say to them, no, mate, I don't want the car back until you fixed it. So it kind of helps a little. So it might be worth playing that game.
Right, I think. Yeah. Yeah. No, I'll certainly give that a shot, because it just seems crazy to get rid of a phone that was, you know, the best part of $2,000 only 3 years ago.
Spot on.
If that was a TV or something or anything else, you just wouldn't do that.
Mate, if more people had that mentality, more people would be, just repairing phones. The other thing I say to people, like people with an iPhone 10, put a new battery in it. Pay Apple $150 for a brand new battery, and that phone becomes brand new again. Like, it's unbelievable. So, yeah, I wish we – and that's not because I'm a greenie. I'm just because I think it's wise use of money, especially when, unless you're telling me that for me right now, using a $500 Android phone, which I am absolutely loving, the only thing I miss is a 5x zoom on the iPhone Pro. I miss it, but I'm not desperate for it. So,
well, that's right. I think years ago, well, you know, when the first phones came out and things, you would change because there were so many better options in the new iPhone or whatever that.
That's,
you know,
right.
Going from iPhone 6 to an iPhone 10 or whatever it was, there was a real benefit to doing that. But now there's really not.
No.
You know, unless you want a better camera, as you and Steve talk about all the time, that's really the main difference.
And I don't think that I don't think even Apple are afraid to acknowledge that. That, you know, they don't say. Think about when Tim Cook stands on stage and goes, "We've got a new iPhone," and he goes, he doesn't say, "Everyone with last year's phone, this is better." He just says, "We've got a new one." And of course, yeah, they know that in the market, there's a huge percentage of people that upgrade every year, another percentage that upgrade every 2 years, and then they market these things. Like this year's phone will be marketed to people with an iPhone 10, 11, and maybe 12, because that's your 3 to 4 year cycle and plus.
Yeah.
So, mate, I think it's hilarious. I love reading the comments of videos I post, like the iPhone 16 one, because people are like, no innovation here. Yes, but for someone who goes from a 10 to a 16, they'll be like, wow.
That's right. Yep.
So, Sean, can you let me know how you go? I'd love to know how you go with that experience of just twisting the knob a little bit at Apple, seeing if you can get the Australian consumer law to cover that. I can't say that you've got the backing of fair trading to get you through it, but – you know, it's at least worth the argument and the conversation.
It really, it's amazing how that does work. I did it with a pool cleaner just recently. It was only 2.5 years old, and they said to me, all the motor's burned out. And I said, well, do you really think that a, you know, $3,500 pool cleaner, you know, under any expectation should only last 2 years? And I threw that on them, and they fixed it for free.
Mate, I'm in a Facebook group for the Kia EV9, and globally, There's this problem with the Kias and the Hyundais with some little component where the 12-volt battery can drain on an electric car. It's a really weird thing. And it happened to our car a week and a half ago. And you know what? The battery was dead. I just rang the free roadside assistance that came with the car and said, replace the battery. I'm not touching it, you know? And it was fine. It was sorted in my driveway. But in America, they don't have consumer law. They don't have that kind of roadside assistance. They just don't have any of that. And so we miss – I see people complaining all the time about this stuff, and I go, we forget how lucky we are here, and frankly, we don't use it enough. So
that's right.
Take it, man,
people don't know
and use it. Exactly. Mm. All right, let me know how you go, buddy.
I appreciate that.
Good on you, mate. Thanks very much. Cheers. Good on you.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Yeah, cheers. Look, it's an argument that is tough to have, especially if you don't kind of have that – get up and go, ballsy attitude of, nah, I'm not going to do it. And also, here's the thing, don't be rude about it. Don't be like, no, you got to do it. You just say, oh, I believe. So it's about your belief. My belief is that this phone, which is only 3.5 years old and in perfect condition otherwise, should still function. Can you tell me why it's not? And if they say, well, that's just what happens after that many years, then you probably go and buy a Samsung, because that's wild that they would walk away from that. I don't think they will. But at the very least, it gives you this kind of negotiation in between, do I pay full fare or do I get it done for free or do I take it somewhere else and just get it fixed until it breaks again and then I'll get a new one. You can have that kind of approach to what you're going to do next. Anyway, interesting times for Sean, and we'll hear back from him shortly, I hope.
EFTM.
This is the EFTM Podcast.
EFTM Podcast.
EFTM Podcast. I just cleared my throat before I brought my microphone on. It reminded me of when I discovered, and I'm going to say it's probably 3 years ago when I had the original Rodecaster, and I had this cable plugged in to the Rodecaster and then into the bottom of the iPhone, and it was fantastic. I could hear people, you know, through the Rodecaster. It was fantastic, and you know, they could hear me, and I remember vividly, and I don't know who it was, but I'm pretty sure it was just a random caller. Might have been an interview even, but anyway, they were chatting. They were chatting away. I pulled my microphone down like that, like I faded it down. But while I did that, I went, and I cleared my throat. And then I heard them on air, like in my ears, go, oh, what the heck, like that. And then I realized that the cable connected from the phone to the Rodecaster was only taking audio in. It was not sending audio out. And so the listeners were hearing me through the microphone of the phone, so they could hear everything I said off air, including big, loud clearing of my throat. So we've come a long way thanks to Bluetooth technology in the new Rodecasters. I can just have you on the phone as I do Ashley. G'day, Ashley. How are you doing?
Good, Trevor. And you?
Random story. I'm sorry. What's happening? I just literally remembered this weird moment where this caller just went, whoa, what was that? I'm like, it was just accidental. I didn't know you could hear it. But anyway, moving on. What's happening, Ashley? How can I help?
We're heading off overseas for our first ever overseas adventure.
First ever?
8 weeks time. Yes.
When did you say? 6 or 8
we've
weeks?
We've been to 8 weeks. We've been to New Zealand, but that's kind of like another
that's
state.
That's just another state. Where are you going?
Yeah. We're going to England and Scotland, heading over to the Goodwood Festival of Speed.
Oh, you dog. You just are outrageous. Where's the Goodwood Festival of Speed? I don't even know. Is that whereabouts?
Well, Goodwood, funnily enough.
Well, no, but like, is that southern part of England?
Right, yeah, yep, right in the southern bit of it. Okay. So we're staying in Portsmouth or Portsmouth, I think.
Portsmouth, yes, Portsmouth.
And yes, and travelling backwards and forwards.
Wow.
But we're doing the whole tour around England first and Goodwood.
And how
last.
Long are you going to be away for?
Should be about a month.
Mate, what a trip. Well done. Sounds amazing. Mm. Is this your better half coming with you? Who's heading over with you? Say we.
Yes. My wife and I are heading over, but we're meeting up with friends for Goodwood. So we're doing England ourselves and Scotland ourselves, and then we meet up with them at Goodwood.
Now, is your wife into cars as well? What's the story there?
No, she's just very sympathetic.
Wow. Mate, how many years have you been married?
28.
Okay, so I've got a bit longer before the sympathy kicks in. Okay, because I'm not getting the sympathy on the car stuff right now.
No.
So how can I help when you're traveling? What sort of things are you thinking about? This is huge. First trip.
Yep. Well, I was placed in charge of technology because that's she doesn't like that. I do.
Yep.
And I was looking on Facebook the other night, which funnily enough, it's come out with all this travel stuff at the moment. I don't know why. But one of them was the Snap Wireless 5-in-1 charger I was looking at.
Yep.
And after listening to you for many years, the one thing I have learned is don't trust anything you see on Facebook. So I actually posted in the EFTM Man Cave a screenshot of this thing and said, has anybody had any experience with it? And to be honest, I had about 6 or 7 people come back to me and say, yep, got one, it's great. Works beautifully. There was a couple of people suggested other ones.
Yep.
No real negative comments. So,
you know what?
Yes, I've
shout
actually
out
gone
to the man cave
to.
Because I love the fact that you can ask such a, like, you've got to say random question, right? It could be, you imagine how many people have had that experience, yet there it is among just a few thousand people. Boom, here's people that have got one, tried one, seen it, used it, whatever. Now, I would say, I reviewed the Belkin product very quickly on TikTok and Snap almost instantly reached out to me and said, oh, you've got to try ours. And I'm like, I will. And they sent it to me. I haven't yet, but I'm about to head on a few trips, so I'll take it with me. I'll say to you, if you hadn't have had those responses, I would have said, no challenge from me on Snap Wireless. They look like a legit, brilliant Aussie, I think they're Aussie, company
who
are just very good at internet marketing. But you're right. Like, how do you tell the difference between that kind of company and some, I guess, just Chinese knockoff style company? And here's my guess. My guess is social media profile. So what I would have done if I'd never heard of them is I would have gone to their own Instagram and Facebook and stuff to see what they're publishing as themselves. And I think if you look at their content, it's pretty professional. It's reasonably authentic. You know, it doesn't look like something that's just come out. Like, it looks like they're trying to market themselves, and that's exactly what you want from a company doing their best. It's like the Udi guy, you know, the guy that created the Udis, and he's like a squillionaire now because he just nailed internet advertising, worked out how to make it work. Yeah. So because the Snap Wireless is a power brick to power your laptop. It's a power brick to power your phones, but it's also a battery bank, yeah?
Yes.
Have you got an iPhone? Are you a MagSafe guy?
Yeah, we've both got iPhones, Apple Watches, and iPads.
Yep.
So that the MagSafe really appealed to me because that worked with your watch. That's going to be very handy, I think.
Does it charge the watch on the same MagSafe pad, or is there like a pull-out little thing on it?
Because you'd have to do either your phone or your watch separately.
Because, yeah, watch is not the same. Like your headphones and mobile phone will charge on the same, you know, wireless part of the snap. But the watch, you may need a cable for. I don't know. I haven't seen it. I haven't triple checked it. But just do. Here's the best thing you do about travel is put. You get a bag, like let's say just your carry-on bag, and just throw all your gadgets in it now, and then see how long you can operate on just what's in that bag.
Okay.
So I'm going to Seattle in a month, and it'll be the first time I've traveled in like a couple of months. That sounds ridiculous, but for me, that's a long time. And it's been that long since I've, you know, packed up my Today Show gear and all that stuff. So what I will do the week beforehand, I'll set up here in the office the full Today Show kind of remote kit. I'll organize for one of my Today Show segments to be from here. So I go on air, I do the whole thing, and I go, right, everything that's here is what I need to take. Everything that's standing in this one square meter spot. And then I just pack it up into a box right there. So it means that I know that there's not a cable over there or a battery over there. It's all here. So I would do that, mate. I would put it all in a spot so that for 1 week, just try and live out of that bag so that you work out what does and doesn't work, because you will come.
Yeah, we're headed off to we're headed off to Melbourne in a week or so. So we're going perfect. To do a bit of a trial run then.
Yeah, perfect. I reckon the watch might be the issue there. That's all. So
I haven't
checked it, but that might be it.
I'll have a look at that one.
That's awesome.
Second question for you.
Yeah.
We're both with Boost.
Yep.
They're overseas data packs. Have you tried them?
Yep. Used them in the US in 2023 at the start of the year for CES. And I used them on – so, my Today Show phone, the phone that I use to broadcast from, has an American SIM card, but it's also got a local Boost SIM. And I normally enable roaming on it just for, you know, a day or two just so that I've got that as an emergency. And, mate, it's great. So what I would say is make sure you've got the app installed, you've got your login and everything, because if you don't have all that sorted, it's bloody hard to do remotely, basically.
Yes.
The thing about it is, you could you're away for 4 weeks, you could spend a lot of money roaming every day. So I would probably look at more of a like they do one of their international roaming packs, like 7 days and 14 days, I think.
$40 for 5 gig for 14 days, if memory serves.
And you'll burn through that 5 gig. That's the problem is you'll burn through that 5 gig. So just pay attention to your usage as you're using it. Because if you can make the 14 days last over 10, then $40 over 10 days is $4 a day. That's pretty good value for being able to make your calls, do your local stuff, and have a bit of data. Basically, what you want to do is try and minimize your data usage outside of active apps. So the other one, big one to do, especially if you do it, did you say hiring a car and driving around?
In Scotland, we will be, yeah.
Download the map for Scotland now. So open up Google Maps and you kind of zoom in on Scotland. Then there's a menu option to download this map. And so what it does is it downloads it all so that you're not searching for mapping information as you're driving around. It's just local to the phone. A game changer.
Good idea.
Game changer. Because that might only be 20 megs or 5 megs, but that's data. And you want to minimize the amount of that you do.
It's another ad that keeps popping up in Facebook Simplify? I think that's how it's pronounced.
What do they do?
A lot more, SIM cards overseas.
Ah, right. Well, look.
SIM cards.
So, and I've talked about this in recent weeks, but I think it's valuable to look at. Let me look for you for now. I've got this app called Airalo, A-I-R-A-L-O. I've got it on my phone here. United Kingdom. Let's do 30 days, right? 30 days. And this is actually a really good equivalency for you. You could put an eSIM on your phone that's 30 days, 10 gigabytes for $22. So let's call it $35. 30 days, 20 gigabytes for $36. That's the maximum you can do on this thing. 20 gigabytes for 30 days for around $50 Australian. I mean, it's not bad value. And the reason I've come back to this whole local SIM card thing is because international roaming was easy. It became easy to do with Vodafone and Optus and Telstra and NetBoost and Kogan. But eSIMs are now so easy that you could land, activate an eSIM and be online in seconds. And 20 gigs certainly is a whole lot more data. And like, look at your actual usage. How much are you using every month now at home?
I don't know, but I'm on wireless most of the time. I expect it's like 2 or 3 gig.
Yeah. And so
wouldn't be much.
I would hazard a guess that $50 or $30, $36 for 20 gigabytes for 30 days, that's your whole trip, might actually be enough, mate. And then you don't have to worry about the boost. And have a listen to last week and the week before shows, because there was a few people suggesting really interesting things, really interesting tricks to kind of, you know, get your phone working overseas without actually having international roaming, like Wi-Fi calling and all those kind of things. So
my wife's only concern was that with the motels and whatnot that we've booked, is that the contact number they've given, that she's given them, is her local number here.
I hear you, but I think I said this to a bloke last week. I've never had a hotel call me. Like,
yeah.
Like, what are they calling you for? The only issue is my mum just travelled to Spain on the weekend, and she's never travelled there before. She's freaking out. And she was flying Emirates via Dubai during the, you know, tsunami over there, the floods. And so her plane got delayed. That had knock-on effects to a hotel and a train and all this kind of stuff. And, like, that was a bit of a nightmare. But that's the only time you need to reach out to the hotel. So really it's about you having their number and you having either the online booking or the contact details, because it's you that's going to be delayed. It's you that's going to want to call them to say, oh, we're getting there early or we're getting there late. Like, when a hotel won't, they don't care. They're not going to ring you. They're not, like, especially if you've confirmed the booking, but there's no way that's going to be an issue. And if you're worried about it, get in touch with them and ask them to put an email address on file.
Yeah, good idea.
I think that'll do the job.
Lucky last. Mm-hmm. I've currently got an iPhone 12.
Yep.
Wife's got a 14. I was thinking of upgrading to the 15, but if Apple are going to come out with a 16 with AI and blah, 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 I'd be really shitty.
I got a
15.
Just spoke to a caller, Sean, who asked the exact same question, except his phone was a bit faulty. Yeah. So, mate, honestly, there will be a 16. It'll come out in September. You would have seen my video. It's going to be similar but slightly different with a camera button.
Yep.
Is it worth waiting for? Yes, I would say yes, because the longer you wait, the better. The more value you're getting from your phone. But your current phone's pretty bloody good, mate, so it's not a desperation thing. You know, think about it that way.
it was more the camera, But look, to be honest, I can't tell the difference between the 12 and the 14 in the photos.
You know what? If you're thinking about everyday shots, daytime shots, I struggle to suggest that you'll need it. But if you're doing a lot of low light and different things like that, then, you'll get some serious advantages from the newer models. But
no, I think this will be, there's an old building and here's another old building.
Mate, I've taken beautiful photos of old buildings on $300 phones and put them on Instagram. No one's known.
Yep.
You'll be fine, mate. Have a great trip, Ash.
Excellent. Thank you, Trevor.
Good on you, mate. And I hope it's everything you hope for, and I'm jealous of you at Goodwood, mate.
Yep. I will send you some photos.
I look forward to it, mate. Thanks, buddy. Good on you. Thanks for getting in touch.
Thanks, Trevor.
Cheers.
See you, mate.
No worries at all. Ash has been a long-term listener, and I appreciate him continuing to listen, and I appreciate everyone in the man cave jumping on and answering that question for Ash, because it just makes the community. It's such a great thing that I love so much about what we've built is – it's not about having a global community of 20 million people. It's about having a community of people who are there to help each other with these simple little things. Should I get this? Should I buy that? Should I do that? Have you tried these people? And people go, I tried them. They're crap. They're good. They're whatever. It's awesome. Love it a lot. So thank you to everyone in the EFTM Man Cave. Great to have your company. If you've got a tech question, 0477-657-657. Producer Rob will be in touch. We'll get you lined up. Grant's on the line. G'day, Grant.
G'day, Trevor. I've got a question for you, mate, please.
Hit me.
The question is, I've got a smaller 2x1 duplex, and I've had internet at the house prior, and the modem is pretty much right in the centre of the house, so it throws a signal equally both directions.
Pretty cool. That's good.
And it was just a modem that came with IINet, just a cheap basic one you get with a package. I need the house for a certain reason, and I've got to put internet back there, and I just need to know, I want the cheapest internet possible that's on the market. All I do is Netflix, bit of YouTube, emails, pay bills, stuff like that. Pretty basic stuff, nothing too heavy on the internet. I just want to know what's out there that's just basically cheap. That's all I'm after, really.
Not multiple people?
Just myself, yep.
Yep. And so you're happy with essentially the slower speeds as well?
Yeah, you're within reason. I mean, not if it's like cripplingly slow.
Of course not.
But yeah, just something that gets me going.
What's really weird is the cheapest plans are broadly around the $60 a month, okay? Which, now that I say it out loud, it actually does seem like a lot, to be honest. But anyway, that's just where we're at today with the cost of internet. And weirdly, the cost of internet, cost of switching from, say, that cheapest plan up to the next one is very minimal. It's weird, but that's just the way it is. So, for example, if I just look at Superloop, who a lot of people are loving on at the moment, and I'm probably going to try them out for my mum's place, they're 2510, so 25 being the download speed. Their 2510 plan is $59 a month. Their 5020 plan, the next speed up, is $65 a month. And their 100 speed plan is $69 a month. So there's only $10 difference between going 25 versus 100, which is wild to me, don't you reckon?
Yeah, it is, yeah. No, that's it. You've just answered my question in 2 minutes flat, so that's perfect, Trev.
Do you reckon you'll go 100 or you go 25?
I'll go 100.
Mate, try Superloop. Remember, the prices I've just mentioned to you are the prices they quote as being their plans today. It's like for the first 6 months. And so what you want to do is make sure in about 5 months, then you find another telco to switch to and get their introductory deal. That's kind of, you know, how Superloop operates. They get you on board and then they ramp it up after 6 months or so. But well worth a try at that price for sure.
Perfect, mate. That's why you're the expert. Thanks
good on
very
you, buddy.
Much, Trev.
Thanks for getting in touch.
Have a good day.
Cheers, mate. No worries at all. And that's like, it's an interesting thing, isn't it? Because those prices are wild for Superloop. And I think I don't have a problem with introductory pricing. What I have a problem with is the fact that the whole point of introductory pricing is to get you to stick on that plan and to then end up paying more. So Aussie Broadband, for example, is $75 a month for their 2510. That plan at Superloop is $65 a month normally. So you can see there's a $10 premium to Aussie. Aussie's 5020 plan is $85 a month. Superloop is $79. But the thing is, they even up after that. Aussie goes to like $85.95 for the 100. So, you know, I think Aussie has quite big desires on the top end of town. $109 a month for the light speed 1,000 gigabit plan, which is what you'll also get it at Aussie, but again, for the trial period. So, mate, switch between the telcos. Remember this, your NBN is as easy to move around as your mobile phone is. You can switch. You just got to ask. It's so good in that way. EFTM podcast. EFTM.
You're listening to the EFTM podcast. EFTM.
Thank you for listening. Trevor Long taking your calls. 0477657657. Marcus is on the line. G'day, Marcus.
Hi, Siva.
What can I do for you, buddy?
I would like to suggest to the listeners out there a smaller SNN provider called eTel.
Right. What are they? Are you actually connected to them on NBN?
Yes, I am.
And what sort of speeds are you getting compared to what you're paying for?
I get the supersonic package, which is 1,000 down, 50 up, for only $99 a month for 12 months. And the actual speed, according to the Sam Nails box that I was given by NBN, is 840 megabits per second.
Wow. You said it was LeapTel, is that what you said?
Leaptel.
Leaptel. So the frogs, their logo, of course, Leaptel. So you're on there full throttle. No, that's 1,000. That's 100. So supersonic. 1,000 meg down, 50 up, 800 by 42 is what they're quoting, and it's $99 a month for the first year, $129. Now, here's what's interesting. I literally just spoke to someone and said, don't be afraid to switch around. So how long have you got left in your year, Marcus?
I got connected in December because it was a new house.
Yeah, right.
I think it was either December or November because it was a new development because I moved into the new house.
Nice, nice.
It took, 2 weeks for NBN to connect.
So what I'm asking is, when you get to December, are you going to stick with Leaptel and pay $129 a month, or are you then going to find someone else with an introductory offer?
I might stay with them. I might ask support if they can do anything.
Try and gouge a bit of a discount out of them again, eh?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good advice. All right, Leaptel. I'd not used them, hadn't had a recommendation on them before, but if you've got a recommendation, that's good to know. Thank you, Marcus. Good of you to get in touch, mate.
Okay, see you, Chev.
Good on you, mate. Cheers, buddy. We've spoken to Marcus before. I can't remember what that was about. Anyway, Leaptel. If you're looking for another suggestion, I do see, and again, this goes back to the man cave, and we're a bit of a bunch of sheep early on. Nearly everyone was with Aussie Broadband. It's kind of, we really do follow each other. I get a real sense of, with internet providers, we're split to kind of Aussie Broadband and Superloop now. Then I get with like security cameras, I get a real, there's a bunch of Arlos, a lot of Eufies, and then there's a few others, different things. It's this real kind of community aspect. And again, that's what I love about it. All right, EFTM.com. If you've got a tech question, click Ask Trev or go and send an SMS. Simple and easy, wherever you're walking, running, driving. Well, not really driving, but you know what I mean. 0477-657-657. Nathan's on the line. G'day, Nathan. How you doing?
Good, Trev. Good, mate.
What can I do for?
Smartwatch.
Ooh, what are you after?
So I've recently updated from an S22 to an S24 Ultra Samsung.
Oof, the whole band, you went all in.
I went all in, mate. I did, only because I dropped my phone and it was cheaper to get a new one than what it was to fix a screen.
However, wild.
I know. Unbeknownst to me, I thought my watch had gone completely flat because it wasn't working properly and it wasn't getting any notifications. But my trusty Samsung Gear S3 Frontier that I've had for many, many years is not compatible with my S24 Ultra. Now, since I've when smartwatches first came along, everyone seemed to get the same watch that applied to the phone back when I got it. However, there's so many smartwatches out now, and I didn't realise how dependent I was for my smartwatch until I don't have one. So I want to know, on the market, what's available? It's not going to break the bank, but can just do the basic. I don't need it to tell me if I'm having a heart attack. I just need it to tell me if I'm ringing.
That's brilliant. I love it because that is one of the most promoted features, isn't it? AFib and ECG and all blood oxygen
take
levels.
Take a breath.
It's done. You've nailed healthcare, but I just want to know what time it is. Thanks.
Exactly. And let me pay for my coffee because I've left my phone in the car.
I'm actually blown away. So the watch doesn't work with the new phone.
Yeah. So when I went to link it, and a message came up to say that Samsung have made a decision to not make this connected to the S24. Sure enough, typed on Google, and Samsung made a decision to not make it compatible to the Smartwear, I think it is, or Galaxyware, the watch app. You can't use it. Yeah, which I've had this watch for many, many, many years. I love it. It does everything for me. And like I said, it wasn't until quite often I have my phone on silent, I'm in and out of meetings, you just a quick look at the watch, whether you've got to excuse yourself or whatnot. Now I don't have it, I've actually got to have my ringtone up and it's annoying me.
Yeah, right. Wow. That's interesting. And so what are the features that you miss? What do you need from a watch then? If not heart attack warning, what is it?
Yeah, I don't need to know if I'm having a heart attack or take 5 deep breaths. I'm more interested in The social media alerts, quick previews, who's calling me. I've got a message come through that, like I said, the tap pay for the wristwatch. Not that I use it that often, but it's when you remove it and you go, oh, shit, I actually don't have that anymore. Just the general basic features. I don't need it to be able to stop and play it on music. Just a general – and I need it to look like a man's watch. I find these Apple watches are quite – They're square and they're they don't look like a manly watch.
No, I agree. The Apple Watch Ultra, I reckon has a real manly feel about it. I think they can't say that because they're Apple and they're very inclusive and supportive. But I think in the end they built the Ultra because they wanted something that was big, bulky, and manly. Like on my wrist right now, I've got a G-Shock that is all metal. It's enormous. This thing, if I knocked your head with it as I walked past as a kid, it'd knock you out. Like it's huge. I want a watch, you know.
See, that's more appealing to me. I don't care if I'm having a heart attack. I want to use a weapon. That's a weapon on my wrist.
And it's what's annoying to me is you mentioned tap and go because, man, I absolutely love the Withings ScanWatch Nova. It's like $700, but it is a beautiful analog watch that has a little tiny screen that tells me who's calling and what my notifications are. It doesn't have previews and all that. It's not a touch screen. It's not a color screen. So I do like that about it, but it also doesn't have tap and pay, so that's out.
Yeah,
which really really only leaves you with like Garmin, Fitbit, and Samsung.
Yeah, because I've seen a lot of Garmins pop up, and I'm worried: are they compatible? Are they not? The other feature that I don't like about some of these Samsungs and Apples is the battery life.
Yeah.
Whereas you go buy a different model outside of the generics, they seem to last a couple of days. Whereas I had to put my watch on charge every night.
And, well, let's be real. That's what you're used to do. So you're used to it. So you're not going backwards having to charge every day.
No.
But what I would say is a lot of the – so, like, I think the Samsung Galaxy Watch 6 Classic, right, because the Classic is critical. It has a proper bezel around the screen. So a lot of the Samsung watches are just this you know, edge-to-edge screen kind of style. It looks lovely, but – it's not for me. I want a bezel around the bloody thing. You know, I want it to look like a proper watch. Now, the Watch 6 Classic is a $650 plus watch, but you can also get, you don't need the SIM card connectivity in that, do you?
No.
Your phone's always on you. So I would say the black Galaxy Watch 6 Classic in 47 millimeter, because that's kind of, yeah, that's the big size. You want to go big. Weirdly, I'm just looking at it now. Just weirdly at JB's right now, it's only $699 for the 47 millimeter Classic with LTE. So it actually has the SIM card feature. But anyway, that's the 47. And that's going to give you that feel of a bulky watch. But here's the thing. If you go into the settings and turn off all that heart rate-y stuff, you'll get better battery life.
Although I have now, someone spoke to me about this one, a friend who has a similar one, but what I also like is when I've got my watch on and I put my phone down somewhere and I walk away, it vibrates to say I'm out of the distance of that phone. So
no,
I don't know if I turn that off.
No, don't turn that off. See, think about your core features. Think about your core features. You want notification you walked away from your phone.
Yep.
You want tap and pay. Yep. You want notifications on your screen, but you don't want all the health stuff.
No, I don't.
That's fine. That buzzing when you walk away from it is not based on movement and motion and health. It's based on distance. It's like your phone loses its connection with the watch and the watch buzzes. Yep. That's all it's doing, which is pretty smart.
Yep.
So, man, honestly, while I can tell you that Garmin make beautiful watches, they are all about activity. Their screens are not that great. You're not going to get previews of notifications and things like that. You are going to get the best user experience from a Samsung Galaxy Watch. No question in my mind.
Yeah. I figured this is what you were going to say, hence why I jumped on your website to try and look for a watch review. So, everything Samsung Android related I always find is – yeah, it ticks all the boxes for me.
I'll just say one more thing. Listen, you married?
Yeah.
I don't think the wife's going to approve of this, but I will say this to you. If you want a real watch, the Tag Connected E4 is beautiful.
It's beautiful. Yeah, right.
It's $2,500, but it is
holy,
mate. It's the best watch I own. Like, I love it.
But I need to tell the time. I don't need to.
Yeah, but you can do it with. Yeah. You can have a traditional looking watch face, the Porsche watch face, proper tag. See, the problem with smartwatches is they create all these fancy bloody watch faces. I just want a nice watch. This thing's
mine was full metal. Mine was a classic.
Dude, I challenge you not to have a look at the tag connected E4, and tell yourself that you're not gonna save for it or work towards it.
That is the best reverse psychology I've ever heard.
It's, mate, it's a reward. Don't look down. Do you know what? I'll tell you what I did.
Yep.
When you buy a tag, it comes in the most spectacular box, like big, like you fit six iPhones in it, right? It's a big box. And when you order online, you can have like a card in it and all that kind of stuff. Mate, I bought this thing and I opened it up and the card inside said, "You've earned it." And it was like, I've kept that card. Because, mate, I did. I worked hard to earn that watch. Yeah. I wanted that watch.
Yeah.
Mate, I'm telling you.
So every now and then when your wife questions how much your watch is, you just pull the card out and show her, listen, I've got proof. Okay. I earned this.
Listen.
Yeah.
What happens on tour stays on tour. Okay. Okay. Sometimes things come into my life that are review units. Sometimes they're not. My wife doesn't know what is and what isn't, all right? So let's just keep that between us, all right, brother?
Let's just hope she doesn't listen to this podcast. That's all I'm hoping for you.
I'm thinking about editing it, I'll be honest with you.
All right. 100% the old edit button. There you go.
Good luck with your watch, mate. I think you'll end up with a Watch 6 Classic because it's a great watch.
I think you're 100% right. Oh, thanks a lot for the call, Trev.
No worries at all. Cheers.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks for getting in touch. And if you want to cause drama in my life, EFTM.com, click on Ask Trev, or you can send an SMS or a WhatsApp to 0477-657-657. Great to have your company. Thanks for all your calls this week. Thanks to producer Rob for lining them up. We really banged through them there. Great stuff. I appreciate everyone's time. And we'll do it all again next week. So get your questions together. I don't care whether it's bragging about something or you've got a problem with something. I just love talking tech. It is like I've had the longest day. I've been at it for 10 hours. Okay. I got up at 2. It's now 1. I've done 20 radio spots. I did the Today Show talking about Uber, and then I did the Today Show talking about irons and steamers, which was so out of my comfort zone. It was not funny. I had so many text messages and emails and WhatsApps coming through while I was driving home. I just went, I'm just going to go and do the podcast. And I've got to tell you, I just feel so much better. I have an ease that has flown over me here because I just absolutely love doing this. It is the highlight of my week. If only I could make money out of it. No, I really should. We really should put a sponsor back on this. I need to get my act together. I appreciate you listening. I appreciate you getting in touch and share with your friends. Tell your friends they can learn a little bit about technology just by listening for half an hour a week. You never know what you'll learn. Thank you, folks. We'll do it again next week.